You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean, proud to bring you another special guest interview on our podcast this week. Today, we've got Head of Industry Relations for realestate.com.au, Steve Carroll. Along with Tom Panos, Steve will be speaking at various Momentum events around the country, as well as at ARIC 2018. Last year, Steve also held his own event, Digital Live, specifically to help real estate agents improve their chance of success in the digital interview. He is a thought leader in this space and has personally spent some time with some of the large organisations such as Facebook, Google, LinkedIn and more. And today, we're going to be talking about some of the things that are on the horizon in the digital space for the next 12 months. So welcome, Steve. Thanks for dropping in.
That's all right.
So as REA's Head of Industry Relations with a keen interest in digital, you've studied all the big players over the last few years, known as FANG out there. It's Facebook, Amazon, yeah. Netflix, Google, and both here and overseas. So first of all, fill us in on what's happening with Facebook.
I think the first thing is having three teenage children, if you want to have a conversation and not be outdated, you just need to understand what's happening with these big four or big five organisations. And there's absolutely no doubt that your Facebooks, your Apples, your Amazons, they're just changing the way that we live our lives and in most cases for the better. And look, Facebook 2017 was not a good year for Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah, it was not a good year for him at all. He has a vision that Facebook will be the new television. So he wants everybody across the globe watching or looking at Facebook like we looked at television when we were growing up. In 2017, there were two trends that didn't impress him. One was the slowing down on the number of people signing up for Facebook. So just put some numbers behind that. There's about 2 billion, which is about 23% of the world's population are on Facebook on a daily basis. And that's obviously growing.
Yeah.
But that started to slow down, not go backward. It just started to slow down in 2017. But more worrying for Zuckerberg was the fact that the amount of time that people were spending on Facebook started to decline. So his team did some research on that. And one of the reasons why the amount of time being spent was declining was people were just getting sick and tired of too much clutter in their feed. Because when you think about it, Facebook is designed to keep family and friends connected. And you need to have the right balance between that and commercial posts. And so he made some pretty big changes to the algorithm, which basically we'll see less commercial clutter in your feed going forward, which is going to have an impact on real estate agents.
Yeah, for sure, because we know Facebook is a good place to market property and connect with people and all of that sort of thing. So what we're saying is that customers of real estate agents are going to be seeing more of their family and friends.
I think the big thing here is anybody, any organisation, any real estate business that has got a business page may have noticed over the last 2 or 3 years a decline in what we call organic search. So, for example, if you had 1,000 connections 3 years ago and you posted something to your Facebook business page, then close to 1,000 friends or connections would have seen that post. But over the last 3 years, that's been reduced dramatically.
Yeah.
And today, if you post something to your 1,000 connections, less than 3% will be reached if you're relying on organic search or organic reach. Yeah. So the only way you're going to be able to connect to your followers is if you pay. Now, according to Zuckerberg, that is not about making money. It's about reducing the amount of clutter that is out there.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that he has said will happen. So the long and short of it is if real estate agents and if vendors want Facebook to be part of the marketing mix, you have to be prepared to allocate budget.
I did hear you saying on another interview that it would be very likely that you'd be asking for a social media vendor paid budget in with the whole marketing mix.
Well, I think the reason why that it's a good decision now to get into the habit of asking for the vendor to pay is because my belief, this is just my view, is I think Facebook advertising is going to become more and more expensive as it gets more targeted. Yeah. And so what that means is if a real estate agent now starts to give away the Facebook ads to the vendor, I'll pick up the cost type of approach. As the price becomes more expensive, then they're going to be in a real tricky position. So my advice to all real estate agents is get into a habit of asking for vendor paid advertising. So if the prices start to go up, you're in the routine, you're in the habit of asking for the money.
Yeah. So the other thing that I've seen out there with real estate agents on Facebook, obviously, is that they use their personal pages a lot to market property as well.
Yep.
And there are two schools of thought on this. One is that you should only have business on your business page, and yep, the other one is that you should use your personal page for various different networking activities. What's your view on that, given this slap with the business pages?
Yeah, absolutely. So one or two agents have already told me that their workaround, this change in the algorithm, is to post their business content on their personal page. Now, Zuckerberg has made it very clear that they have the smarts to work that out. And if you start putting commercial business stuff in your personal Facebook page, you will be warned by Facebook and you do run the risk of being taken off that platform.
So you could have your account shut down.
You could have your account. So look, bottom line is, Sam, agents are just going to have to understand that if you want to play in Facebook, you're going to have to pay, and actually transferring your business posts into your personal feed won't be tolerated by Facebook. And at the end of the day, you don't want to be falling out with one of the biggest companies in the world. Another interesting thing, Sam, just really quickly on that. So what Zuckerberg has said is even if you pay to advertise on Facebook, so that might be through boosting a post or Facebook ads, if those paid for ads do not get likes and do not get interactions, do not get comments, yeah, then Facebook will limit the amount of exposure that those posts will get. So even if you're paying for Facebook ads, unless you write good informative copy that educates and entertains the recipient, then you're just going to be wasting your money.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we do use Facebook here a lot to promote different stories that people have written and stuff like that. And you can definitely tell that there is a difference between content that people want to see. I think the changes are interesting, really. I mean, some people might see it as a bad thing, but in actual fact, it's going to put us all more on our toes to provide good content to audiences.
You're absolutely right. And social media, and this is a line that I pinched from Henry Ruiz at REA, and he told me, you know, social is not about self-promotion, it's about connection. And those that emotionally connect with audiences get a side benefit of promotion. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not perfect, but whenever I post on any platform, I do my very best to make sure it's not about pumping my tires up. It's about giving some value to the recipient. And if my brand gets a free kick as a base on the back of that, then everybody wins. But I think there's too many real estate agents who publish stuff, whether or not it's on Facebook or LinkedIn, which is all about them. And there is no future in that type of content.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think real estate is one of the few industries where you'll get real estate agents posting that they've just won a listing, but it's the last thing that someone like a lawyer would do, that they've just won a new client.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't, I'm not sure if it was yourself, Sam, or someone else said, you don't get accountants saying that, you know, I've processed 300 tax returns this week. I mean, who actually cares?
Yeah.
And look, if I'm brutally honest, the fact that you've listed 3 Smith Street, who actually cares?
Yeah.
But a twist of that is if you had a property, for example, 3 Smith Street in Drapilly, then my recommendation would be write about the great things about living in Drapilly, the coffee shops, the restaurants, the schools and the cafes. And then just have a link to say, hey, look, for all properties that I've got for sale in Drapilly, click here.
Yeah.
Because you're still achieving what you want to achieve, but you're giving educational content up front.
Yeah, like when Justin came to North Sydney and I said, go downstairs for the Super Korean Bowl. That's local knowledge.
Absolutely, yeah.
So just to recap, Steve, what do you recommend that agents do?
getting vendor paid advertising is important, getting into a habit of asking for it. Second is just accept that if you want to play, you've got to pay. Don't try and cheat the system.
On your personal
page. On your personal, because that won't work. And even if you're paying, Facebook won't necessarily send that post or that advert to the customers that you expect it to go to, because they refuse to post stuff that is of no value. The other bit of advice I would give is one of the challenges you have with Facebook is they can change the game rules anytime. So I would suggest to real estate agents, certainly include Facebook in your marketing mix, but start building stuff that you can control. For example, your own CRM system, your own database, because you can control that. You can make up the rules on how you master or manage that CRM. If you're 100% reliant on Facebook, who knows what they might change in 2018, 2019.
Exactly. And then you've got it, you're in control of it. And then it doesn't matter what changes they make, you've got your database intact there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about some of the others in the big four. So Amazon, who have just released Echo in Australia, and Netflix, of course, and Google. Like, we watch those guys closely because they've created this massive trend in the industry towards personalization. And you've just come back from New York as well. So what are some of the things that you've seen both here and abroad that are adding to that personalization trend, and what should agents be looking out for?
Personalization is massive in the States. And if we agree that what happens in America eventually comes to Australia, then clearly whatever line of business you're in, you're going to have to get your head around that consumers are going to be conditioned by these big organizations to expect personalized service. Yeah. And, you know, you can walk into a Nike store in the United States now and you can have personalized shoes made for you. So rather than going to the gym and everybody's got the same gym shoes as you, you can have personalized shoes made for yourself. You go into M&M World in Times Square, you can have chocolates in your favorite color, you can have logos, you can have whatever words you want on your chocolate. M&M are now serving that up. And one of my favorites is Levi jeans. One of the biggest challenges I think we all have, Sam, is trying to find a pair of jeans that make you not resemble a bag of potatoes. Yeah. And Levi are working on a technology solution where as you walk into their shop, they'll take a scan of your body, your posture, including all the lumps and the bumps that you're probably not particularly proud of. Yeah. And then like magic, they'll say, right, your shape, these are the genes, or these are the genes.
Don't waste your time with that other stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so look, this is obviously the way the world's moving. So real estate agents need to ask themselves, right, how can I offer real personalized service to my sellers, my buyers, my renters, my landlords? Because that's the way that the world is moving.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And what about LinkedIn? So you actually went to visit LinkedIn, and I'm really keen to learn more about LinkedIn, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people out there that are as well, because it's not the first go-to social network. People think about Facebook and Instagram and things like that as the traditional networks. Yeah. So what did you see at LinkedIn, and how should agents be thinking about LinkedIn as far as their profile's concerned?
I'm fascinated by the fact that LinkedIn is not a platform that everybody automatically goes to, because let's be honest with you, it is the biggest directory of professionals on the planet. Yeah. I mean, this is a bit like the old traditional Yellow Pages that covers anybody earning over $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And so I can't understand why agents don't make an effort to understand LinkedIn more. Now, the interesting thing with LinkedIn is LinkedIn obviously was purchased by Microsoft last year or the year before.
Yep.
And we're slowly seeing things creep in, which makes the whole LinkedIn phenomena even more interesting. So for example, you know, if I've got an appointment at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and in my Outlook calendar, it says you're meeting Bill Smith at Parramatta, then LinkedIn are now sending me the profile of that person in preparation for my meeting.
Yeah.
So I do think that LinkedIn is a great tool for real estate agents. And, you know, one of the things that I learned when I was at LinkedIn's head office in the United States in January, Empire State Building is where they hang out, pretty cool place, was the number of profiles looked at that belong to real estate agents goes through the roof in January and February. Yeah. So if there's ever a time to refresh, make sure your profile's updated, it's in time for January and February.
Yeah, when people are definitely looking. LinkedIn over in America, they released this product called ProFinder, which was expected to come here. Do you think that's likely to come here at all, where they match you up with a...
The tool that I find very interesting on LinkedIn is the ability to, so if I'm a real estate agent in the western suburbs of Brisbane, there's tools, there's functionality on LinkedIn that enables me to do a search for every person who lives in the western suburbs that has director in their title or manager or lawyer, whichever target audience you're after. And for me, that's just an enormous opportunity to get a prospecting list digitally and far less stressful than knocking on doors. And I think that is a tool that if I was a real estate agent, I'd be getting acquainted to a lot better.
Yeah. And then your next step, of course, is to provide some value to the person that you're trying to talk to or build a relationship.
That's right. I mean, look, if I was an agent and let's say I looked for anyone with director in their title and I was given 29 potential profiles, I'd have a look at those profiles to see if there's anything in common. You know, for example, are they from the UK? Are they supporters of Queensland Reds? Did they go to a school that I'm familiar with? Yeah. Because then when you connect with them, you can say, hey, Sam, I noticed that we've got something in common. Can I connect with you?
Yeah.
And that's the start of a relationship that obviously might bear fruit down the track.
Which is playing the long game because, I mean, I have people connect to me on LinkedIn all the time. And as soon as they connect with me, they try to sell me something. And there's nothing more annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I just sort of wish that they would get to know me a little bit first, date me.
Absolutely. Well, Sam, look, the analogy I often use is building a relationship on LinkedIn, a professional relationship, is like dating someone.
Yeah.
You know, you need to wine and dine. It needs to be slow, 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 slow. And then eventually the magic happens. What you don't want to do is dive in there with 2 feet straight off.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not married at first sight, right?
Exactly.
So I guess you talked a lot about LinkedIn in Digital Live last year, which was an event that you ran personally, that you were in charge of. And at the time, it was restricted to 100 agents and you went through their profiles. What did you learn from that? What were the big takeaways that you learned from actually analysing those profiles and giving agents feedback on what they were doing well and probably not so well?
Yeah, I mean, if I just take one step back, so one of the things that, you know, I was very surprised to find out from the Smith family was the number of teenagers in Australia who fall behind at school because they don't have access to technology, they don't have the internet at home because of family circumstances. You know, and there's stories of 14-year-olds creeping back to the school, doing their homework in the car park just to have free Wi-Fi. Mm. And so in association with the Smith family, we launched Digital Live and 100 agents paid to be part of a six-month program, which kicked off with us doing a scorecard on how well they looked digitally. Yeah. Now, this is pretty confronting, Sam, because if you were an agent, you're basically asking me to look at everything you do online and give you a score out of 100. But most importantly, give you some advice and recommendations on what you can do better to have a world-class digital footprint.
Yeah.
And we made some money for the Smith family, but as important, we helped 100 real estate agents improve how they looked online.
Yeah.
And the three key things that we saw as opportunities was consistency. So the 100 agents that subscribed to Digital Live 17, there was a lot of inconsistency with photos, with posts, with frequency of when they put content up there.
Yeah.
So one of our big pieces of advice was be consistent. So it doesn't matter what platform people find you on, be consistent. The second was testimonials. It's all very well, Steve Carroll are all saying, I am the best at this, I'm the best at that, I'm best at the other. But if other people say, Steve Carroll is really good at this or that or the other, then that has far more power than me actually preaching about myself. So a big piece of advice was look for testimonials, and LinkedIn is a great platform for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, could it be just as simple as asking someone for a recommendation on LinkedIn that's been your vendor?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so I think as we move into this digital world that we're in, getting people to shout from the rooftop about you digitally is important. And the third thing we've touched on this is content, yeah? Content. So those people that are going to dominate the digital world are those that add value to the recipient of what they write. So they would be the three big ones.
Three things. We've talked about the digital interview a lot, particularly in Transform, which we're about to embark on again this year. And, you know, I still remember that statistic of how many people that will interview you digitally before they even make a decision about you, or that they will make a decision about you before they've met you. So given that, what are some of the qualities that you think agents need in this digital world to survive, really?
The figure that you were quoting was one from the Harvard Business Review, and they said 67% of opinions are formed by what people find out about you online, which is staggering. So when you think about it, there are people checking out you, Sam. I know you're not a real estate agent, but there are people checking you out right now.
People stalking
you
right now.
And they're stalking you and they're forming opinions about you on what they find, And so that's the importance of the digital interview. Look, for me, there's lots of attributes that I think are key, but I'll talk about three. So the first one is curiosity. So it is so easy to say, that's just too complicated. I don't understand that. I'll just get someone else to do that for me, And that type of attitude is not an attitude that is sustainable in this world. And so one of the things I do is if I see any of my three teenage children doing something or trying something without trying to annoy them, I'll often say, so what are you doing? How does that work? So you've got to be curious. That's the first thing. Ignorance, there's no part for that. And look, I'm 53 years of age. It drives me insane when people say I'm too old and they're younger than me. It's like, what the?
Yeah. Are you saying the internet's not a fad?
It's not a fad, and neither is it something exclusive for people under the age of 35. So curiosity is one. Resilience to change. Look, we touched on it earlier on. These big organizations like Facebook, Amazon, they will change the game. They will change the rules all of the time. And you've just got to get your head around that and be resilient to a world that is going to change every single day. Gone are the days where it'll just be the same as it was yesterday, last week, the month before, and so on and so forth. And one of my favourites from Nigel Dalton, who I know that you have featured before with your magazine, is you just need to embrace the weird, right?
Yeah.
The weird. And so asking Alexa, hey, Alexa, who am I seeing this morning? Or Alexa, what is the weather going to be tomorrow? Might seem a little bit odd, but believe me, this is just going to be the norm, I reckon, in 18 months' time.
Yeah, well, actually, I've heard, just digressing slightly, but I've heard there's an agency in the US with Alexa, who they're a property management agency, and they've put little Echo Dots in all of their properties.
Yeah.
And so something needs fixing. Hey, Alexa, my roof needs fixing.
How good's that?
Goes straight into their CRM system.
Yeah.
And that's probably that personalization thing that we're talking about and being able to respond quickly.
Yeah.
So Amazon and Alexa are really, really changing the game out there. If you can sort of put your mind to being curious and thinking about how you can put it to good use.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think voice is going to be absolutely huge. I mean, we were all super impressed when we got mobile phones for the first time. I think voice technology is going to be as big as mobile phones or iPads when we first saw them come to Australia. And just to finish on that, one of the things I understand, although this hasn't been confirmed, is you will be able to personalize the accent of Alexa. So if you want Alexa to be Sylvester Stallone, for example, or one of the Kardashians, then my understanding is that's something that's being looked at by the big tech companies at the moment.
Yeah, well, that'd be interesting. I hope they don't make her too Australian. It could be very embarrassing.
Crocodile
for us.
Dundee, yeah.
Absolutely. So we'll just sort of finish up with you're speaking at Momentum again soon. In fact, you're going into Momentum this week in starting in Adelaide and also at ARIC in May, which we're looking forward to again. So can you give us a little hint of some of the things that you'll be talking about?
Yeah, so at Momentum, we'll kick off with a 3-minute video that I've had made on the very best of technology evolution over the last 12 months, and there's some pretty weird stuff, robots opening and closing doors, Budweiser lorries that are driverless going along the motorway in the United States at 100 kilometres an hour and no one's driving the lorry. So that features in the opening video that we'll be seeing at Momentum kicking off this week. Going to talk about personalisation, going to talk about the fact that the internet and technology has just given us so much choice and the impact that has on real estate agents. Also going to talk about how we compare experiences. So the days of comparing experiences in business silos, so for example, comparing just a restaurant versus a restaurant or a hotel versus a hotel, those days are over. We now compare across all businesses universally. So I'll give you an example. So if you think about Uber and you think about how seamless it is to pay for an Uber, people are now, doesn't matter what they're paying for, are saying, well, why can't this be like Uber? So I think why that's interesting is real estate agents need to understand that their processes, whether or not it's a payment process or whether or not it's a quality process or whether or not it's a process that's all about speed, is now being compared to the very best, not just other real estate agents. So that's what we're going to be talking about in Momentum. With ARIC, I'm going to be on stage with Sarah Hackett, which will be different, doing a double act. And Sarah and I are just working through what we're doing at the moment. So I can't tell you anything more than that.
You'll have to come to ARIC to find out. Absolutely. Well, we'll see you there. Steve Carroll, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll catch up with you again very, very soon.
Great. Thanks, Sam.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.